This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right. Morning, everybody. Happy Veterans Day. Guru with a Veteran Day off.
Simmer.
Nah, Guru's...
Shout out the troops.
Guru is taking care of a family issue, and Evan Giddings in the house. Show must go on. Wish Guru and his family nothing but the best.
Well, not for everybody at the cluster.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's pretty quiet around these parts today.
Yeah, there's nobody in here today because of Veterans Day. Nice and quiet. Nobody's going to be messing with
me. I don't know. You were pretty loud this morning.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you came in fired up.
I did?
We got a big Warriors game tonight. There's controversy brewing in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
The Giants, you said, are going to make a monumental move to change the course of their offseason. I mean, there's a lot going on in the Bay Area. I know that. People say sometimes you take it easy on me, but you came in hot this morning.
Yeah, I mean, the gall for you to think Nico Harrison should be fired.
He was fired 9 months too late.
You gotta let it play out. You gotta let the year play out.
What are you talking about?
You know what's going to happen. Bob Meyer is going to take over that job and get all the credit when they win it.
Bob doesn't want that job.
I don't think he does, no. 49ers... 6-4. This has been a weird season. This has been a real weird season. So the boss says to Evan and I this morning, he goes, how would you sum up the Warriors, the 49ers season? How would you sum up the 49ers season up until this point? And I got to tell you, the first answer you had was just okay. But the second one you came up with, I think, was the winner.
Wait, which one?
The second one you put on the thread. That was a winner in terms of the boss is like, how would you sum up the 49ers year to this point? And what'd you say?
Survive in advance.
That was good.
Every single week, it's just been survive in advance. And it sucks, too, because I thought that at some point, Sonny, we'd lose that moniker. Like, we would lose the label survive in advance. Every single week, I just get a stronger feeling that this season... You just survive and get to 2026. Now, you can't, of course, approach each and every week like that, like we're looking ahead and looking to the future. But it's just strange to me that everything from the beginning of this season, including the summer and the offseason decisions that they've made, combined with the lack of urgency around the deadline, you know, kind of the lack of urgency, frankly, with their starting quarterback and how they've had Mac Jones just continue to carry the torch for as many weeks as he has, indicates to me like they're not feeling that strongly about their prospects for this year. And I'm not sure they ever did. But you also had a good one too, which is, you know, mine was a bit more macro.
Right.
Yours was micro, and I thought it was also appropriate.
Well, I was just thinking about this season and all that's gone on. And my feeling, how do you sum up this year? Kyle Shanahan can coach. I mean, that's how I'm summing up this year. I know they haven't gone to the playoffs every single year he's been here. But, man, I just feel like Kyle Shanahan can keep a team on the offensive end as competitive as any coach in the league when they've been decimated by injury like the 49ers have. I just think, you know, if the 49ers just had Joe Schmo coach, I do not think they would be 6-4 right now. I think they'd be 4-6. And I just think he's putting together a nice year under the circumstances. And here they are at 6-4. And I was thinking about this. If the 49ers were healthy right now and they were 6-4, how would we be feeling?
I think we'd be feeling pretty good about them.
I kind of think so, too, especially because we would look at the next four games and say, we can make some hay here. And I look at this team right now at 6-4, and they're right where they need to be. And all they can do is keep playing. Ricky Pearsall may come back this weekend. Brock Purdy may practice starting, or they're going to try to have Brock go through a practice on Wednesday, survive the week, and maybe we'll see Purdy. But there's just something that's been missing from this season, and I think it's an enthusiasm that's missing because nobody really thinks they can get to where previous 49er teams have gotten in the last two or three years.
Well, that's what's hard. It's like their team, we knew their team was not going to be as good coming into this year, but I think that like the first couple weeks before you started getting hit by the season ending injuries made you feel like, all right, well, they can make the playoffs and maybe they could win a game. You know, Kyle Shanahan, look, for all of his shortcomings in the biggest game, he's still gotten you there. And it's really strange to me, Sonny. Like, you're absolutely right that Shanahan has done a great job this year as a whole with what he's been given. You know, he's never won a Super Bowl, but he's also never lost in the first playoff game of any playoff run. He's always got into the NFC Championship. And that had me feeling coming into this year, like, if the Niners can just sneak in, you know, Shanahan can scheme up something along with the rest of this squad to get him to the division round. Maybe to get him to the conference championship, I don't know. But now that, I think it's mainly the defense. Like, to me, the defense has just slowly deteriorated this entire year to the point where they've allowed now 30-plus points on average the last 3 weeks, and it's just too much to ask. I think of any offense. That's the other thing, too. I think one of the reasons that people feel so strongly about just keeping Mac and not seeing that much of a drop-off between him and Purdy, and you and Goo have talked about it, is Brock really going to score 35 or 40 points a game, which it looks like you need to win week in and week out? So it's as much the situation he's being airdropped back into as it is the Niners are just slowly fading. It seems like they're breaking down moving to the second half of the season, or typically, and why I would feel optimistic if they were healthy, is because Kyle Shanahan does have a track record of his team's second half of the season getting better. And it doesn't look like that's the way it's going.
No. But, you know, the schedule is the schedule. And they've got some games they can continue to win. It just feels like they're on one of those habit trails. Whether they win or lose, they end up in the same spot because the big picture doesn't get they're in the same place whether they win or lose because nobody really believes that this team can get to the Super Bowl. And I, like, here's what I was saying to Nahegan. I was like, they're 6-4. I get it. People, you know, a Super Bowl is a long shot. But here was my question. So you can't find excitement in this season? That's what I really don't understand. It's okay to say they're not, you know, they're 6-4, but they're not that good. They've won a couple games they shouldn't have. But isn't there like a gutsiness to this team that makes them fun to watch or makes them interesting to see how successful they can be despite all these starters being out. Like, you can't take happiness if they can make it to, you know, if they make it to the playoffs, we can't get any enjoyment out of that.
No, I think fans are having fun watching the team week to week, but it's, I thought it was ironic that the first week where they really looked like they were just completely powerless, like Houston, they didn't play well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can understand why they lost that game. I thought against the Rams, like the defense didn't play well, but the offense was pretty solid. I mean, what, you're 4-5 in the red zone against the number two red zone defense in the league. You put up a lot of points. Mac Jones had, I think the 33 for 39 was the highest completion percentage by a 49ers quarterback with that amount of pass attempts in franchise history. So, like, the offense played well, but you were still powerless. That was the first game where it felt like, God, it does not matter what we do today. We're not beating the Rams.
Right.
And it's the first game where no one gets hurt. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like every other game in which there's been crazy highs and crazy lows and emotions back and forth because this team is overcoming and they've shown resilience in the face. Like every single game it's been, well, Bosa tore his ACL. Fred's getting air casted out. Even after, I don't know if it was the Giants game or the win before, but Bryce Huff, hamstring out for 2 weeks. Like, every single game, there's been something that accompanies the victory. And that's why I think it's been hard for people to really enjoy each and every game, because they're just expecting Kyle Shanahan to go to the podium and say, all right, here's the list of the walking dead.
That is true. That is true. 888-957-9570 is the number. This from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. So if the Niners finish 8-9 or 9-8 with this horrible schedule, will Kyle Shanahan still have done a great job? I kind of put the line at the playoffs. Can you get into the playoffs? And if they can get into the playoffs, I think it will be a good year, all things considered. They don't get to the playoffs, it's going to be a disappointing year, whether you think they underachieved or whether you think they didn't have a chance in the first place because of the injuries. But how would you sum up the 49ers season so far? And how much are you enjoying this season relative to other seasons? 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Give me some good news, damn it.
I'll give you some good news.
Oh, Curry's back tonight.
Curry is back tonight. So we have the Warriors against the Thunder. You can hear it all right here on 95.7 The Game. And I think they're worth mentioning. The Sharks are at the Wild tonight. They've won 3 in a row. San Jose, 7-6 overall. I believe it's the first time they've been over 500 since 2022.
I was just going to ask. I don't recall the last time I remember looking at a box score and seeing the Sharks with more wins than losses. So good for them.
Yeah.
Building something down there.
Yes, of course, their superstar, Macklin Celebrini, was at the Warrior game on Sunday doing an interview with Fitz and Kalena.
No, I think you were too hard on him.
Of course, I was. The kid, he's a good kid.
No, but you were hard on him.
How so?
He said he's got to grow up.
I was kidding. Hey,
he
kid.
Will grow up.
Hey,
he's
kid, enjoy your
20 years old.
Enjoy your youth. Definitely.
He looks young.
He does look young.
Not when he's on that ice, though.
No. I guess he's got a brother who plays and is a defenseman. And Fitz said, who would win in a fight? Now, who would ask that? Macklin said he would lose.
I'll take Rick.
Yeah, exactly. 49ers, let's start out with Kyle Shanahan and what he had to say yesterday in the wake of the 49ers getting beat. Brock Purdy getting closer. So where are we right now, Kyle?
With all this time off, do you want to see Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practices from Brock? Pretty much no limitations before you start him.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of what we want to see it, want to hear from him, and want 3 aggressive practices, and want to make sure he feels good after all of them each day, too.
All right. So, to me, that's as much clarity as we've had in a while. Brock Purdy's, it sounds like he's going to practice Wednesday as the number one. They'll see how he reacts. He'll practice Thursday as the number one, see how he reacts, practice Friday as the number one. see how he reacts. And if it all goes well, he's going to quarterback on Sunday, right? As the starter.
I think he is. I think we're going to see him against the Cardinals on Sunday. But I still think that Shanny's afraid of this thing. I think that he's afraid of this toe becoming a really big issue. And not just one for this season, but one for next year or the year after. Because like that's the thing is the contract hasn't even kicked in yet. And if you think there's any sliver of doubt surrounding that injury and its impact on the future of Brock Purdy, well, then you got to be really cautious. And maybe that's why he's been out for effectively five straight weeks or six straight weeks. But I don't know. I just, whenever he talks about it, there's like a hint of doubt. And I guess I just don't really get it.
I think you're right. He wants to avoid a Jacksonville situation, obviously. But I think it may be impossible to, avoid the Jacksonville situation. If everything we're hearing about turf toe is accurate, he may be able to practice this week, play Sunday, and the next thing you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday and next week, it's kind of re-aggravated. So, I mean, I feel like at some point, they're going to have to put Brock Purdy out there this year. And you know what? What if he gets hurt again? Like, I can't. And the reason I ask that is because that would seem to be the worst case scenario, is you put Brock out there and he doesn't look like himself and he suffers, a setback. I think you got to find that out at some point, though, anyway. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, if Brock comes back this week or next week and can't make it through the game, or we've got a problem with the toe, then I'm not gonna kill Kyle Shanahan for trying to put him out there, seeing what he could do. And if he can't do it, then you shut him down for the rest of the year. Now, obviously, I'm working under the assumption there that if you put him out there, he's not going to get hurt and miss all of next year with the toe itself. But that's
I think, something that they're worried about.
I mean, how old's Purdy? 25?
Yeah, but it's not about his age. It's about the injury.
I know.
If you mess with it and continue to hurt it, you could be out for a full calendar year.
I guess what I'm saying is, I didn't realize turf toe for a young player. Are we talking about the possible career threatening?
Yes.
See, that's...
I think that's why they're being so cautious with it, is because they clearly rushed it. He heard it once, and if you heard it, I'm not saying like career, his career is going to be over,
right,
if he goes out there and hurts it on Sunday, but I think if you rush someone back too quickly from that kind of injury, you could miss a full year. And then we're looking at Brock Purdy being out for some of next season, when that's the first year where he's supposed to be paid as your franchise quarterback. Like, I do think that Mac Jones has made this decision a lot easier for the Niners, but I also think they're cautious about it, because not just like he might lose you a game, but you might not have him beyond this year for like Nick Bosa, Brandon Ayuk,
right,
these guys that have torn their ACLs. They're going to be out for a full year, and then you got to figure out if they can come back and help you. Like, Brandon Ayuk is probably not going to help the Niners at all this season. If he does, he's going to play, but I don't expect him to be 100%. And you can't afford to have that going into next year with your starting quarterback.
Right. I do think we've got to see Purdy play this year, though. And let's say he plays the next three or four games, and you gotta think about what happens if he plays well, what happens if he doesn't play well, and how committed is Kyle Shanahan to Brock Purdy under any and all conditions. I don't think it's that clear cut. Otherwise, I don't think Kyle Shanahan would have waited this long with Purdy if Mac weren't doing his job, even though he said they're unrelated.
Yeah, I mean, he said they are, but it's probably not the case. I guess my question off of that, actually, because I came in today and I threw this one at you, and I'll throw it to the people too. Do you still consider Mac Jones the hot hand? That's the whole reason why I think he's played as much as he has. Because, and why we've had the discussion, like I told you guys last week, if he beat the Rams on Sunday, and this was about as much about Mac as it is, I did not think the Niners were going to win that football game. But if he had beaten the Rams, if he had swept the Rams in the regular season, then you got to give him the rest of the year.
Right.
Because that's what riding the hot hand is. But the last couple of weeks, do you still consider him a hot hand?
Boy, that's a tough question because he was certainly on fire Sunday with his completion percentage. Then again, they are 3-3 in his last six. I don't know. Like that, one of the things I came in today thinking is, if you're a 49er fan, look, whether you like it or not, there's a situation with the quarterback. Your starter's been hurt, and your backup's playing well. And so it's a simple question. If you were Kyle Shanahan right now, how would you handle this, right, the rest of this season and moving forward? And where I'm at here, Evan, is I think he wanted to bring Purdy back earlier, and he's waited as long kind of as he could. He's making progress, and they've picked this week, obviously, as the week, I don't want to say make or break, but if he can't make it through three days of practice, then where are they? Then they're back to Mac Jones probably for a while. Well, I guess what I'm saying is how do you know when to put Purdy back out there to see what he's got, and you weigh that against what if he's not healthy and he re-injures it? I'm leaning towards the first.
You're not just throwing him out there to see what he has. Like, I think that's why Shanahan, the cut you just played, was talking about the 3 days of practice. Like, you have to play well in practice before you play in a game. So they're not just throwing him back out there. But I do not think they wanted him in that game against L.A.
No, I don't either. I don't either. I just wonder, how is Brock Purdy going to be judged when he comes back?
Well, he's going to be judged the way he's always judged, which is he's got to be perfect for people to accept him. If he loses the game, then people are going to crush him. And if he plays well, then people are going to say, well, it's just the Cardinals. Because there's always a double standard with Brock. There just is.
You think so?
Okay, let's do this.
All right.
So, Nick Wagner of ESPN, great beat writer, reporter for the Niners. He wrote this in his last article about how Mac Jones in his eight starts this year is playing like a top 10 quarterback, right?
Okay.
Okay. Now, what I'm about to do is give you some statistics.
Okay.
Okay, just leave that there. So, he's second in passing yards per game, which is, you know, he throws the ball a lot.
Right.
Because they have no run game. He's eighth in completion percentage over expectation. This is where we're getting into the weeds a little bit.
Eighth in one, repeat that?
Completion percentage over expectation.
Okay.
Eighth. Ninth in completion percentage.
Okay.
Tenth in yards per attempt. And his QBR, a stat that Willard really likes, he's 12th. Okay, so he's performing very well statistically.
All right.
Everyone would agree with that.
Yeah. I think he's been solid statistically.
If that's the case,
yes.
Brock Purdy was a top 10 quarterback last year. But nobody would say that. Nobody would tell you. And I'm one of them. Like, if I think about Brock Purdy's season last year, I wouldn't associate it with being a top 10 quarterback.
Nor I.
But if we look at some of the statistics, Brock Purdy last year in yards per attempt was third. Brock Purdy in completion percentage over expectation, one of the numbers I just gave you for Mac Jones, was seventh. He was seventh in QBR, a number I just gave you for Mac Jones. So there were some statistical areas in which Brock Purdy was a top 10 quarterback, but nobody would ever say that he was. And that's my point. There's a double standard because people prefer Mac Jones.
Okay,
If Mac Jones is a top 10 quarterback this season, then you have to also acknowledge that Brock Purdy was a top 10 quarterback last season.
I'm not willing to do that. Either way. Like, okay. I believe you. I don't believe you're...
People hear what they want to hear. That's fine.
I don't believe for a second you're altering the numbers. I'm going to take your numbers as fact. What about the eye test? I feel like just, you know, after seven games or eight games that Max quarterbacked, I feel like he's been a little better than Purdy last year.
Yeah, because they've won those games.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
And you know how I don't like how win-loss record dictates what we think of a quarterback. For example, was Jalen Hurts good last night on Monday Night Football?
I've got an issue, but I'm going to say no because they only scored 10 points.
Yeah, but they won the game. I got people telling me this morning, like, I thought Sirianni didn't coach a very good game last night. So I throw it out. What is Sirianni doing? First reply I get is winning Super Bowls. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? You're right. Yeah, he has won a Super Bowl, but I didn't think he coached a good game last night. I don't think Jalen Hurts played a good game last night, but he was going up against Jordan Love, who was missing guys, who his wide receivers couldn't catch balls. His head coach didn't trust his kicker. Like, Green Bay could have easily won that football game last night, but they didn't.
Right.
That doesn't mean Jalen Hurts played well, and that doesn't mean Nick Sirianni coached a good football game. So my point is, Mac Jones is playing well, and there's no doubt about that. But he's not, to me, just the guy automatically, and these statistics that people are throwing at us, he doesn't pass my eye test.
Mac Jones?
Yeah, he's been good. Is he a top 10 quarterback? Is he better than Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Aaron Rodgers?
No. Well.
By numbers, he is.
Oh, okay.
Then he is.
Oh, right? I see what you're saying.
That's my point.
650 agrees with you on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. There is no hot hand winning and losing every other game.
He's 3-3 his last six games. Is he still the hot hand? Everyone would say yes because they like Mac Jones.
I'm halfway with you.
Objectively, he's not the hot hand.
I mean,
who are the last three teams he's beaten?
Oh, God. Let me try to figure it out. Atlanta?
Yep. Yeah, they're really good. They've lost four in a row.
Yeah, why can't I think?
They're 3-6.
Seattle and the Rams, obviously.
Well, he didn't beat Seattle.
The last three games. I can't even remember the horse bleep teams they played. They lost to Jacksonville.
Actually, technically, Giants. It was the Rams, technically.
The Giants.
The Rams, the Falcons, and the Giants.
It's Giants. Yeah, that's... Hey, somebody's got to win those games.
Yeah, someone does have to win those games.
How do you factor in McCaffrey not playing last year, impacting Brock's numbers negatively, and the fact that Mac Jones has access to Christian McCaffrey, but he doesn't have access to all his receivers?
Brock Purdy would have beat the Rams last year if Ronnie Bell wasn't one of his receivers.
No, I agree with that.
So, Mac Jones gets a free 80 yards a game. He just dumps it off to McCaffrey. Everyone was wondering on Sunday why they didn't throw the ball deep. That's a question that if Brock Purdy was the quarterback, they would say it's because he can't throw it deep. Instead of with Mac Jones, well, that was just Kyle Shanahan. That was the offense. That was the scheme. It wasn't a throw the ball deep. When there were multiple instances, one of which Tom Brady even called out on the broadcast, in which Mac Jones had an opportunity to drive the ball deep down the field and chose not to. I just think there's a double standard.
I wonder if it's a double standard or it's the natural thought process between a starter and a backup. You know what I mean?
People are looking at Mac Jones like he's a backup.
You think? I think a lot of 49er fans are saying he looks like a starter now. You know what I mean?
Well, he was a starter before he went to Jacksonville. Right, I mean, he came into the league as a starter.
Like moving forward, I think there's this segment of 49er fans that think Mac Jones is better than Brock Purdy. Here's my question. If Brock Purdy if Brock Purdy practices Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and holds up, are you telling me there's 49er fans now that would say, I still would play Mac Jones?
Because I think there's a lot of Niners fans that want Mac Jones to start on Sunday.
See, I think it's less than we think. I do. If Mac Jones practices Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then he's got to start Sunday. If for no other reason, then he will have taken all the snaps. Now, what happens on Sunday may dictate where we go moving forward, but I think 49er fans, for the most part, are ready. This is the natural time for Purdy to come back.
I think
after the Rams game, before these four.
Sorry for stepping on me. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that believe that Mac Jones gives them the better chance to win, and that's why they want him to be the quarterback.
I mean, the one thing I will pay some credence to is if we're talking about it being week 11, then Brock Purdy's kind of got to hit the ground running. Like, they can't lose this game on Sunday because Purdy is really rusty or not altogether healthy. That's the biggest issue I see with bringing Brock Purdy back is you don't really have ramp up time. You got to win at least one of the next two games, and ideally, if you get them both, then you're really sitting pretty.
Well, so, you would consider Arizona a soft landing.
Yes.
Yeah, so then it is a good game for him to come back.
No, I agree. I think this is the natural point where, you know, had Mac Jones somehow won that game, maybe this wouldn't be a discussion, but they got beat, and now it's time for Purdy to come back. And I wonder what the expectations are for this offense. And that's the part that's fascinating to me. It doesn't feel like 49er fans expect the offense to, quote-unquote, take off when the starter comes back. They expect it to be about the same or marginally better.
See, I don't think people are excited about their starting quarterback returning, which is a problem. Because generally, if you're, like, for example, all right, Joe Burrow, I think this is week 11. It was just announced today or maybe it was yesterday. Joe Burrow will be ready by week 13 for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
Nobody's saying let's stick with Joe Flacco. Nobody's saying it's all good, Joe. Take a couple more weeks. We got Joey Flackjacket under center, who's, by the way, quietly, there's a couple backup quarterbacks around the league that have statistically played as well or better than Mac Jones, one of which they might play this Sunday. That's neither here nor there. No one's saying don't bring Burrow back because we got Joe Flacco. But there is, and maybe it's the lunatic fringe like you like to talk about, but there's far more people saying, or not saying, we're good. Brock Purdy, please come back. And I understand why, because the returns from your backup quarterback have been positive, but I also don't get it because Brock Purdy's your starting quarterback who you've seen do amazing things, and people have, I think there's a loss of faith in Brock Purdy. Maybe there wasn't faith there originally for some people, but I just think in general, the feeling behind Brock Purdy is slowly subsided since last season.
This is from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Steiny, I know, Steiny, you got to be smarter than this. Mac Jones was awesome on Sunday, and it's not his fault they lost. If Purdy played, they probably would have lost by four or five touchdowns. I mean, I'm with you on the first part of that. I have no idea what Brock Purdy would have done offensively in that game. But, I mean, there's a guy, Evan, who's looking at 33 for 39 and probably saying, why would you make a change right now? Other than
because he's not your starting quarterback.
No, I get
that. That's the reason
no
why.
No doubt. No doubt.
But also, if Brock Purdy had the same line, I seriously think there would be people coming in here on Monday being like, yeah, Brock didn't do enough. You know, we're paying that guy $50 million to go out and outshoot the Rams, and he couldn't do it.
My question is, if you bring Brock Purdy back this week, how long are you staying with him?
The rest of the year? Or unless he gets hurt.
Well, what if he just isn't playing well? What if he comes back and looks like he looked in the first two games, but...
They won one of those games.
Okay, what if he goes 2-2 over the next four? All I'm saying is, I have a feeling Brock Purdy will not finish the season. Like, I feel like, and this is just a guess, I feel like he's going to come back and one or two things are going to happen. He's going to be really rusty and things are going to kind of have changed and he's going to need to reset next year. Or he might show us that he's not fully healthy. Like, see, that's the part. If he doesn't play as well as he's played, you'll have the toe excuse. And then they'll just say, we've got to get this guy ready for next year. But my question to 49er fans is, if Brock Purdy's healthy, you got to play him, right? I mean, you got to play him. It's time, right? 888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up at noon today, we got C.J. Watson, former Golden State Warrior. We're talking some basketball because the Warriors are playing the defending NBA champion, Oklahoma City Thunder. Today, we'll get into that. And we'll start on the other side, though, with the San Francisco 49ers and where they are in this crazy season and how much faith you have in them and what your expectations are for the rest of the year. What do you want to see? They're 6-4. Brock's poised. That segment brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.